Well, it's almost summer, and it means that we are ready to kick off a summer full of live concerts and outdoor music festivals. And there's a very cool podcast on WGNRadio.com that you've got to check out. It's called Sound Sessions with host Michael Heidemann, who's also Patty Vasquez's executive producer, one of my first producers here at the station. Mike talks to local musicians. He previews, he reviews, he talks about all the new music and album releases and hot topics within the music industry. He's the maven, the music maven here at WGN. And here he is, Michael Heidemann. What's going on, buddy?
Wow, I love that intro.
Thank you.
I have to get that recorded.
And we'll do that. We'll do that right after this.
Thanks,
there's
Dave.
Nowhere to do that in this building anymore. This is it.
We're here right now. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah.
I always love coming back, and especially for the summer concert season.
And you're wide awake. I can see it in your face.
I'm wide awake.
Sober. Thank you for that, too.
You are very welcome. One of the rare nights.
Oh, my God. And you're moving your shift slightly, sort of slightly.
Yeah.
As we were talking about off air.
It's a little bit of a shift. Yeah. We got the news here at the station. There's a lot of changes going on. We're about to move to 303, as your listeners know.
Yep.
And we are moving the Patty Vasquez show from 7 to 11 at night, unless there's
7 to
a
11.
Sox game.
Or 11 to 7.
Yeah.
You're flipping it around. 11 to 7. Yeah, 11 to 7.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And we're bringing on Andrea Darlis from the Steve
Cochran
show.
Yeah,
she's running the shift.
She's in Greece right now.
Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah.
Not the Broadway play, but
no,
the place.
Yeah, she's in Greece right now.
Gets that
she's
confused.
On stage. Yeah, let's think about
Sandy D.
And then it looks like you're producing that other show right after that, but we could talk about that during the commercial break.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Exactly.
Maybe after a few old fashions, we'll talk about that.
I like that. Okay, that sounds good. I know, we had a whiskey tasting this week that we went to. It was Larry Wirtz invested in this Uncle Nearest, it's called.
Yes.
You didn't get to partake, though, I don't think. You got there just a tad late. You had another event going on that night, but you got some cigars out of it.
Yeah, that was a really great event, and it's really cool to see that it's happening in Chicago. It was at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which is an amazing event space.
It is, absolutely.
Call Dave for any rental.
But what was funny was, like, it's going to be 100, 150 people. I think it was like 500 to 600 people that actually showed up at this place.
And you get to party right in that SNL exhibit, too, at the same time.
Yeah, in the background.
It's amazing.
Cool. We should give away a couple tickets. How about that? We'll do that later in the show. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. So anyway, first concert that you ever went to, even if it wasn't by yourself, what was it?
The first concert, I am at a time in my life, I was embarrassed about this, but now I wear it like a badge of honor.
Okay.
My first concert was in Rockford, Illinois, to see Weird Al Yankovic
Hair
Day tour.
I remember this.
Yes.
That's right. Did you have Weird Al on your show, on your podcast?
No, we never had him. I booked him for you.
You did? Okay, yes. That's what it was. That's the relationship there. Okay, that's what it was. How about Curtis? What about you? What was your first concert?
I'm not much of a big concert goer, but a few years ago I went to Foo Fighters at Wrigley.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
I'm going back to see them again on July 29th.
Look at that.
I'm really happy because one of my other favorite bands, The Struts, is opening for them.
Okay.
A 2-for-1
The Struts,
there.
Yeah, Struts are an amazing, amazing group. We actually had them on Sound Sessions. I'm sure you listened to that interview.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did, yes.
Wow. They're so good. Actually, they are going to be the band to watch in this next year because they put out a great opening album. But what they're doing now with their live show, people are finally taking notice, as you probably have seen, Curtis.
And a lot of their songs are getting picked up by commercial agencies and a few video games. And that sort of stuff. So their popularity is skyrocketing.
That's cool. All right, that's very cool.
I was one of their original fans before they became popular, so that way...
I like that.
You know.
They opened up for Motley Crue when I saw them. They did the final Motley Crue tour, and they opened up, and I was like, who the heck are these guys?
What's their final tour? I mean, Vince is... he's on the road by himself. In fact, I think he's doing something this month, I don't know what it is.
Yes, he is. Vince Neil is playing Saturday, July, I think, 24th at the Arcata.
Okay, at the Arcata. That's a great venue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're really picking up their game, too, which I've been seeing a lot of great shows there.
Yeah, that's cool. Roger, what about you? First concert?
Well, other than the Caveman Band.
So slamming rocks together?
We
give you a lot of rock groups. Look, I'm not that much younger. I'm a little bit younger than you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just our producers that are in studio are... You know, born in the 2000s, for God's sake.
That's how Roger called it the first rock group. Yeah, literally.
Right, literally.
Slamming rocks together.
Exactly. All right, so it would have been, I didn't see any bands live when I was in high school.
Okay.
The first bands I saw was were when I was in college at SIU Carmdale. So between 70 and 74, I do remember Doc Severinsen, who used to lead the Tonight Show band.
Yeah.
Toured with a with his own band, a fusion band at the time. Also saw Chase, the rock group Chase.
Okay.
But then again, I worked on a program called In Session in the TV studios, which brought in musical artists. And amongst the shows I worked on were Brownsville Station. They had the big hit Smokin' in the Boys Room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever hear? All right.
Yeah.
And then a very young performer who was trying to get his name known. In fact, he had flown in that morning from Los Angeles from a gig there and looked very tired and didn't look like he had cleaned up for a day or two. I think his name was Billy Joel.
Oh, that's cool. Mm. Nice.
Yeah. And I worked
on that
Billy
show. Joel. I love Billy Joel.
Yeah. And he played, I think it was his second album that he was playing selections from. And through the magic of video, I actually have a DVD of that show.
Really? What year was that about?
This was, I'd say, 72-ish.
That early. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. And the problem was that... a lot of those shows, in fact, almost all those shows, don't exist anymore that were produced down there because they threw out all of the 2-inch and 3-inch wide videotapes that they were recorded on.
Yeah, we
and
hear that.
Somebody
a lot.
Went back and found this show and brought it back. And then the producer of that show went on to produce and start Austin City Limits.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at
Bruce
that.
Scaife, who I still stay in touch with.
Yeah, see, a lot of that stuff got tossed. That's why the Broadcast Museum was created, just so we had some stuff. You know, because they we'd see this stuff in dumpsters all the time.
Yeah.
Mine was REO Speedwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. And I think it was
great local.
You Can Tuna... But You Can't Tuna Fish.
You Can't Tuna Fish.
You can't, yeah, whatever that was. But it was Roll with the Changes, Time for Me to Fly. That was going on with Wisconsin State.
They were top of their game then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And then my kid's first concert was the Monkees.
Oh, awesome.
When Davy Jones was still alive.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was at the Genesee. We went up to the Genesee. So it was maybe 2012 or something like that. Josh was 11 or whatever it was. Emma was really young. She was like 6 or 7 years old.
What a fun show for kids to go to. Because everyone can join in with the Monkees.
Yeah, and everybody sang along. I mean, during most of the concert and all that. And Patrick... his first concert was pretty cool. Patrick, you're on 720 WGN. How you doing, buddy?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Your first concert, what was it and where was it?
It was in 64 or 65, and it was at the Erie Crown Theater before it burned down.
Yeah.
It was the Rolling Stones.
Wow. So that time, maybe, was that one of their first concerts in Chicago?
I think it was.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Man, Patrick got to see the Rolling Stones in their prime in the 60s.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
They look exactly the same now, too.
I don't think they do. All right, we're going to talk about what's going on in the concert. I'm going to see... speaking of sounding old, we're going to go to at Wrigley. Who have we seen at Wrigley? Not the Foo Fighters.
That Pearl Jam happening there.
No, I think it might be Billy Joel we're going to.
He always rocks Wrigley Field.
And Dave Matthews. And I think they're at Northerly Island. I think that's the other one we're going to. We're going to see Carol Burnett next week.
That's awesome.
She's going to be at the Chicago Theater. And I've seen her there before, and my kids have seen her there before. And it's kind of a best of show, and she kind of talks about her career, but then she plays clips and stuff. And she's so sweet, but you know, you got to go see folks, you know, while they're still around. I mean, she's been around a long time.
You know, that's very important to see, especially are you bringing your young ones too?
Yeah.
So when they're like, you know, our age, they're going to look back and
you're being very generous. I mean, your age, but go ahead.
They're going to look back and think, oh, who are the greatest comedy minds of all time?
Yeah.
They got to see one of the
best.
They got
to see Carol Burnett. That's it. All right, we'll do that coming up next, 720 WGN.
Television preachers with bad hair and dimples. The God's honest truth is it's not that simple. It's the Buddhist in you. It's the pagan in me. It's the Muslim in him. She's Catholic, ain't she? It's that born-again look. It's
the wasp and the Jew. Tell me what's going on, I ain't got a clue.
All right, it's Dave Flyer on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Michael Heidemann from Sound Sessions on the summer concert season. That's a little Jimmy Buffett there.
I like that.
I love that song. That's called. It wasn't a big hit. I think that was from the 90s. It was Fruitcakes.
Fruitcakes.
Yeah. Okay.
So Jimmy Buffett, one guy who comes to Chicago super frequently playing at Wrigley Field.
Always speaks well of the city. Like he enjoys, he looks forward to coming here and dining and hanging out. When is he coming? When is that? Jimmy Buffett,
he's much like the winter. You know he's going to be here at least one point in the year.
July 13th.
July 13th.
At Wrigley. Yeah, at Wrigley.
Get your Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops ready.
So you two's already been here. Who was here just last weekend?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift was here last weekend.
Enormous double show, sold out.
Yeah.
85,000 seat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's taking over the world.
Yeah. My daughter wanted to see her, but then she said, I'd rather see Ed Sheeran. I think he's coming in the fall at some point.
Okay, okay.
And she loves Ed Sheeran, and she has a record player. She has an album.
Really?
She has the last Ed Sheeran album.
She's pliers.
And
she knows her music.
Well, what's really funny is I hear her turn, like the click of the radio, the record player, and then I hear and everybody knows what this is. You hear that needle when it first hits the record. You just get kind of like a hollow sound for a little bit, and then the music starts. But I'm sitting like, you know, in my bedroom working or whatever, and then I just hear that needle hit, and I'm thinking, how cool is that? My daughter's playing a record.
That's pretty awesome. Who'd
right?
think in 2018 that records would be, you know, having the resurgence that
they
have?
That's right. So
cool.
United Center, Soldier Field, Wrigley Field, Northerly Island, Ravinia, these are the big venues. Mm-hmm. But give me some of the big names that are going to be touring around this summer.
There are so many concerts, festivals happening in Chicago that I think that we've hit our saturation point.
Yeah, and I think that's all we have time for. All right, Michael Heidemann.
It's
from,
good talking to you, Dave. All right. Call in 312-981-7200.
Steve Miller Band. Oh, you're a big fan of the Steve Miller Band.
I'm a huge fan of Steve Miller Band, yes.
Okay, all right.
I've always been a big Eagles fan because he was in the Eagles. I've been spinning Desperado literally all week long.
You say spinning. Northerly Island actually has some really, really cool concerts all summer. I was surprised. And there are a lot of throwback stuff.
Yeah.
But they're always pretty jammed.
They're stepping up their game. As you know, it's Styx and Joan Jett, former Dave Flyer guests right
that's
there.
Right,
it's been playing on July
7th. Yeah, yeah.
And of course, Dave Matthews Band is another band, much like Jimmy Buffett, who's always going to be here. And they've kind of taken their foothold in Northerly Island, and they're playing June 29th and 30th.
I love the combo of that, too. Yeah.
They're good people. Speaking of that, I wanted to talk a little bit about all the other festivals that are going on in the city, and I wanted to introduce it with a little question for you.
Okay.
All right, and for your listeners too at 312-981-7200, if you know the answer, which of the popular Chicago music festivals is the longest running? Is it Ravinia Festival, Square Roots, Chicago Jazz Festival, or the Chicago Blues Festival?
Ooh, Blues Festival's this weekend, right?
Yes, yes.
It's coming right. Can I chime in?
Yeah, of course.
Ravinia.
Okay, and Dave, what are you?
I was going to say the Blues Festival, but I mean Blues Festival.
Blues? Curtis, you got a guess?
I was going to go with the Blues Festival.
All right.
I'm going to say Riot Fest. E. Seems
you
like
are
it.
Exactly right. Only if Iggy and the Stooges were there from the beginning.
Yeah.
Actually, so the Chicago Jazz Festival began in 1979. Chicago Blues Festival began in 1984. Square Roots is coordinated, you know, by the Old Town School of Folk Music. That began in 1998. But Ravinia Festival is the oldest outdoor music festival in the country, which started in the summer of 1905.
Ooh. Yep. Wow.
I thought
it was a trick question. That's why I didn't go with Ravinia. I thought, he's got something. He's got something.
It started as the summer residence of the Chicago Symphony, if I remember correctly.
Wow, what was that first show, Roger?
Man, you were just getting...
You know, if you guys were
gonna beat that far away,
you're going to beat the crap
right
out of us, I know, right? Just beat the... You know what?
Don't make me come over
here.
So that's how the symphony got there.
Okay.
They had started already.
Yes.
It's just that they decided to head out where it was a little cooler. It was further north. It was outside. And that's where they started doing their summer concerts. And so the picnickers have always been there. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did have a horse-drawn carriage to go up there for the first concert. Yeah. But then it just continued to expand and expand and expand, and it is what it is today.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're some of the big ones. I know Josh has the tickets to Lollapalooza, which this year did not sell out.
One of the first years. Because people are becoming slowly oversaturated with these concerts. And to be honest, Bonnaroo is a very famous festival, and people aren't even covering it anymore. The people from Consequence of Sound just put out an article that them and The New Yorker are no longer wasting their time on that festival because the lineup has been so poor lately. Because it's becoming a lot of EDM bands, which, you know, if you're going to go and pay music for a rock concert, it's not the kids that are going to shell out $305 anymore. It's going to be their parents and the people who want to see good bands. And the lineup still isn't there this year.
Well, see, now Josh is making payment plans on that, but he was in school when they were selling tickets, so he's like, Dad, can you just be accessible at 10 o'clock, and can you get the tickets?
Yeah.
And, I'm desperately making sure I can get them, because they sold out within, I don't know, 15 minutes, 18 minutes or something last time.
Mm-hmm.
They're still selling tickets.
It's wild to see, and it's interesting, because bands like The Weeknd, Bruno Mars, Jack White, The Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, it's a great lineup.
Yeah, The Arctic Monkeys haven't put out an album in 10 years, and they're going to be there.
Well, isn't Bruno Mars doing a separate concert outside of Lollapalooza? I thought he's actually going to be at the United Center.
Yeah, in the summer?
Maybe. I think around the same time, but then he's got another concert the day afterwards. He's doing then Lollapalooza.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Usually there is a legality issue where you can't perform for 3 months in the same vicinity.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure, because that was another thing that I heard. But also, from some of my friends who have bought tickets to Lolla, they only want to go to see one band perform. A lot of times what they're doing is they're just buying like a single day pass, and if they bought like a whole weekend pass or whatever, they're selling that and purchasing a one performance ticket or whatever, and then they kind of just move on from
it's
there.
It's a heavy ticket price for kids.
Yeah.
It really is. That is the concert of the year, that if they're going to spend that money, you know.
And you know what? What do you think about the fact that they moved it from 3 days to 4 days now, just so they can make that money? Yes, four days now.
I did not know that. Was starting Thursday?
Starts on Thursday.
Oh, man, I did not know that. What are some of the other ones?
So we got a lot of great things happening. You know, if you haven't noticed lately, country music is taking over as well, and there's great festivals here in Chicago, like the Windy City Smokeout, as well as Lake Shake Festival, and that has bands like Brett Young, Brett Eldridge. A lot of the Bretts are going to be there.
The Bretts.
Brothers Osborne.
Country Thunder's another one. Up in Twin Lakes. That's not too far from here, maybe an hour away, but that's huge.
Has Josh ever been to that one?
Uh-uh. Okay. My sister-in-law has been there before, and there's big names. I mean, it's like four big names. Brian and... I don't know, was it Kenny Chesney? I can't remember who else is up there, but it's like
that
four big names up there, yeah.
And so that's like what's happening with the Chicago music scene. And as you see, the festivals are starting with these small, underneath-the-bridge kind of festivals and turning into these great things, which are Lake Shake and the Smokeout.
I was driving through town, and there was Ribfest going on this weekend.
Yeah,
and there's like multiple stages going on. So, I mean, they're smaller, more local bands, but I mean, it's still fun to kind of just pop into a neighborhood and get some free music as well.
Exactly. Due Division Fest just happened too, and that is one of the greatest street festivals here in Chicago. They're really doing it right this year, and they're keeping the cost low, so you can see these unknown bands and also promote Chicago business and check them out. So it's really a good thing.
Yeah. What festival do you look forward to all summer? Like, what's the highlight for Michael Heidemann?
You mentioned it before. I am through and through a Riot Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who just announced they're going to play there? It was Blondie, Debbie Harry.
Yeah, Blondie is going to be there, and thank goodness, because about time that they came back and brought some of that 1970s vibe. I'm still into her.
Oh, yeah, she's still cool. She's still cool.
And it's going to be, it's her, and another great throwback is Elvis Costello is going to be there, too, and the Impossibles.
Really?
Yes. He's one of the headliners.
I had Elvis in studio here.
I remember this day.
Yeah.
That was a huge day for the
studio. That was a big
studio.
Deal. It was crazy. Like, there was people like there was almost like a receiving line as people were as he was coming in the studio. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like everybody was waiting in the hallway and stuff.
Didn't you have Wendy Snyder who sat in behind the glass?
I did, because Wendy, and I remember, this is honest to God truth, I remember Wendy talking to Bill about this at the QL 101 days, how obsessed she was with Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
So I had her sit in, and she brought like a stack of stuff from the sign. Like, she's a rabid fan. I'm doing something similar this coming week. George Carlin, they're releasing a DVD box set about his life and some of his best moments, which is really cool because he's been gone quite some time already. But Bill Leff's going to join me for that interview.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, Bill, I love hanging out with
Bill. I love when you do those roundtable
segments. Right, right? Kind of pull everybody together. We're going to try to do it in the new studio. We're going to be one of the first because it's going to be a pre-tape. It's going to be a conversation that we're going to have in advance. Just some other things I wanted to highlight. Chicago, yes. And REO. So you talked about Styx and Joan Jett on Northerly Island on July 7th. I love the Chicago and REO at the Allstate Arena.
That's awesome.
On the 24th.
That is quite the show. They played at that new arena where DePaul's basketball team
was right
now, a while back, and that show was phenomenal.
I was there for the first concert. It was actually a private concert, and it was Styx. No, it was REO.
It was REO. Okay.
They debuted there. It was last September. Bryan Adams, June 29th at Ravinia. We're going to have him on the show.
Oh, nice.
Harry Styles, not going to have him on the show. That's June 30th.
He's playing with a great musician, though. His name is Casey Musgraves, and if you checked her out, let's listen to her.
Okay.
New album came out.
Journey and Def Leppard, another. I like these combos. I like that they're doing them together, and that's Wrigley on July 14th. Mary J. Blige at Ravinia. Ted Nugent at the Arcade at the end of July.
Motor City Madman.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce and Jay-Z, that'll be a big one at Soldier Field in August. This one I threw in there, Steve Martin and Martin Short.
I did see that.
I got to tell you, I saw them at the Rosemont Theater with Dean Richards, and I could not. I was laughing. My face hurt when I left there. And Steve Martin's great, but Martin Short, he's killer. And you just don't know what you're going to expect out of this, because there's music too. But Smashing Pumpkins at the United Center, that's a big deal that they're playing together.
Yeah, because Billy Corgan was touring by himself for so long, and now he's bringing back the team to play over at the United Center, which is going to be great.
And where do we find Sound Sessions again, Mr. Heidemann?
You can find Sound Sessions on WGNRadio.com. Just search Sound Sessions, iTunes.com/Sound Sessions to subscribe and have your episodes auto-loaded there. You can find me at MichaelHeidemann.com. Good luck with spelling that last name.
Do you have your own website? Look at you.
Yeah.
You little entrepreneur, you. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Of course. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks. All right. Summer concerts, man. Go see them. All right. What do we got coming up? Mina Savari coming up next on 720 WGN.